Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Vayetze, and we learn of Yaakov Avinu taking leave of his father's home at the age of 63, spending 14 years in yeshiva, and at the age of 77, moving on to Lavan. The Parsha begins with what is the very first Nevuah that Yaakov Avinu has. That means that for the 77 years until then, despite his tremendous level, he did not have Nevuah. Nevuah started here. Some Sefer has a fascinating drasha. And drashas Chasam Sefer, it's a drasha in the last volume, Chela Gimel, of the the traditional print of drashas Chasam Sefer, page Tzadik Zayin, a drasha for Ches Teves. And there, he says a fascinating aside. He says that when a person takes leave of his Rebbe, in Yaakov's case, his Rebbe was initially Yitzchak Avinu, subsequently Shemin Aver. When a person takes leave of his Rebbe and he's on his own, he has an opportunity to reach a higher Madrega. He says the same thing is true when someone's Rebbe passes away. It's a moment of opportunity. He compares it to when Eliyahu takes leave of Elisha, and Elisha has Pishnayim Ruchecha Olai. And he gets a tremendous degree of Siyata D'Shemaya to succeed in Avodas Hashem. And he says that's what happened to Yaakov. Yaakov got Nevuah now because when a person takes leave of his Rebbe, it's a very opportune time. And that's what the Gemara means, called the Hava Bashkafta, the Rebbe. Anybody who was, when Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Nifter, also had a special Siyata D'Shemaya. Why should this be so? He says, "Mukublani memori hagan." I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, the Nasan Adler, that it is so. He doesn't explain why. There may be a second explanation for why the Nevuah started now. As a matter of fact, let's learn the second explanation and then wonder if it's not the Yisayid of the Chasam Sefer's explanation as well. Why over here did he suddenly get a level of Nevuah? We have a rule, Zelu Umazeh also Lekim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a balance in the world. And when people have Nisyayinus, Hashem balances the opportunities with the challenges, one against the other. Kozman that Yaakov Avinu was in the Beis Medrash, whether it was in Shemin Eva's Beis Medrash or Yitzchak's Beis Medrash, there was no special Nisyayin. There was no need for a special Siyata D'Shemaya. When he took leave of the Beis Medrash, connected in the Soyan of going out into a world that was devoid of any semblance of Yiddishkeit and going to the house of Lavan, which was even worse, there had to be an opportunity for Aliyah. Zelu Mazev, suddenly there's a challenge of an opportunity of Yerida. There's also a challenge, there's also an opportunity, connected the challenge for Aliyah. And this is an important Yisoy to understand because there are many young men who are in yeshiva many, many years, maybe not till age 77, but maybe till age 27, and they got into the world. And certainly it's a time of nisayon. And the realization is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu balances the world, and just like it's an opportunity, rather a challenge for possible difficulties, it's also an opportunity to have aliyah. Rav Aaron Kotler in the Mishnah Serbaron Chelak Aleph page Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, on a different note, says the same idea. He says that the Gemara says, Rashi brings in Chumash, the Gemara is in Bava Basra Kuf Yud Ches, that Kalev and Yeshua received the Chelak of Eretz Yisrael that the Meraglim would have received. It went to them, not to the descendants of the Meraglim. The Meraglim's children inherited from their grandparents, or the grandparents have, but not from the parents, not from the Meraglim themselves. Similarly, he brings Gemaras. The Gemara says that when somebody, Gemara Chagiga, Daftesvav, Bar Tzadikim, Bar Rishoyim, Bar Gan Eden, Bar Gehenim, somebody's a tzadik gets his schar and the schar that the other person would have got had he not misbehaved. Why? Why should the Kalev and Yeshua get the chiluk of the Meraglim? Why should somebody get schar that somebody else is supposed to get? The Baron says the same thing. He says that when Yeshua and Kalev went and the Meraglim were with them, the Meraglim created a moment of extra nisayon. Had they behaved, then it would have been a smaller nesayin for Yeshua and Kalev. Their misbehavior caused an opportunity for Yerida. Anything that causes an opportunity for Yerida, Lumazeh, causes an opportunity for Aliyah. So therefore, once it became a time of challenge, so the schar, he gets tzaddikim, bar hashem, bar gan eden, bar gehenim, yeshu kol echad, chelik b'kol echad, everyone's a chelik in each. And if he's zeicha to the chelik of the other person who challenged him by misbehaving. Perhaps it's the same idea in what the Sam Seif is saying. When a Rebbe is nifter, it's a time of challenge. Till then, he has his Rebbe to watch him. We find, we found that there were people that had a Yerida after the Rebbe was gone. When the Rebbe was alive, they had an Aliyah, and after the Rebbe passed, they had Yeridas. It's a time of challenge. So therefore, it's also a time of opportunity. Let's move on to a second thought. As you know, Leah was expecting. She was expecting a boy. Rachel was expecting a girl. And Leah said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's switch things. I want Rachel to be able to have at least two shvatim equal to the shvachas. Did they know the gender? I don't know. Nowadays, you have sonograms. A person can know the gender of the baby. People often ask, is it right to find out the gender of the baby when the baby is hidden? And there are those who say, Hashem hid it. Why are we trying to figure it out? I personally don't understand that. The same Hashem who hid it gave us the ability to have a sonogram and take a look and see what's going on. We don't say that if somebody has a stomachache, you shouldn't take an x-ray because Hashem hid it. And you don't want to see what's going on, or you shouldn't take a CT scan because Hashem hid it. Why is this any different? I want to tell you something fascinating. Besides the fact that it appears, at least from the Marsha, that Rachel and Leah, that Leah rather knew what gender her child is. Beside that, there is a Chuvas Rabbi Kivega Simon Tzadik test. It's the paragraph near the beginning, Dibra Masul Oid Ha'ida Aishas. And he has here a specific question that has to do with an Evan Ezer Shaila. What the Shaila is not Nogeah to us. What's Nogeah is that he writes in that paragraph that the woman who was expecting went to an expert and brought her urine, and by testing the urine, quoting Rabbi Kivager, Heshiva, this expert said, Shehimu Beres, that yes, she's expecting, and the Hibachaydesh Hashlisha said she's in the third month of pregnancy. The Taylor Ben Zachar, and she'll have a son, the Kachava. Now it's difficult to know how in the days of Chassam Sofer they were able to test Meraglayim, test urine, and be able to come to this conclusion. But Rabbi Kivega doesn't say it as a chiddush. It's part of the edus of a woman who's saying testimony about her pregnancy. So Halay Davaru, we see that the Farish from this Rabbi Kivega, that it was something acceptable to know the gender of the child. It seems that it was something that people routinely did. Derech Agav, the Chasaynish writes in Amunah B'Tochen that society today makes previous generations seem like backwards and ignorant and not knowing. And the Chasaynish writes, it's not so. They knew a lot. There were things they knew that we don't know. Specifically, he writes regarding medicine. And therefore, it should be no chiddush that there were things that might have been known, not Dafka to Rabbi Kivega personally. It's not talking about his knowledge. It's talking about an expert that was able to test urine to see about the pregnancy, if such a thing existed. And Agav, we see that knowing the gender ahead of time is perfectly okay. So, one Musa thought, one, if you can call it a halacha thought, I want to leave you with the question. Yaakov, it says he slept over in Hamariah, and he slept, but for 14 years he didn't go to sleep at night. He learned until he got too tired, and he fell asleep, I guess, learning. He could not sleep, but he didn't go to sleep. He learned. Question. Why isn't that a neder? Why isn't it a Torah's nedarim? A person does so, does a hanhaga tzeiva for 14 years, and then he just stops cold turkey? Why? If he's doing it for 14 years, what's a setter to be able to stop? You should need a Torah's nedarim. Now, of course, Yaakov was a great person, and it could be that he originally did it b'li neder, and the kasha doesn't begin. It also might be a different possible answer. There is a machlokes in Yeridaya, Simereshia Dalet, between the Shach and the Dogel Meravava, which is an Rabbi Yehuda in his notes. The Shach says, let's say you have somebody, he fasts what? Let's say Baham. He fasts Yom Kippur Katan. He fasts on the day of Tainus HaTzadikim. He fasts. And 1 year, he's not feeling well. So he's been fasting for 15 years. Now he's got fever. He doesn't want to fast. Shach says he has to be matir nedarim. He's been fasting all the years. Says the Dogel Meravava, it's not true. He never accepted to fast when he doesn't feel well. He accepted to fast when he feels well, not when he doesn't feel well. Originally, it's made with a certain understanding that certain things come to an end at a certain point. If so, the same thing. Someone goes to yeshiva. And for 14 years, he's not going to sleep at night. Maybe he's staying up late at night. And then he goes out into the world, lav dafka, that it should be something that continues. So according to the Dogel Meravava, at least, this comes out appropriate. At any rate, with these thoughts, I want to wish everyone an absolutely wonderful Shabbos. Our eyes are Teretz Yisrael, and we hope that this... Very challenging time, the sacrifice of a ceasefire for the help of individuals, that it should work out well, it should work out in the way of great hatzlacha. So Klal Yisrael, wherever Klal Yisrael may be, a guten Shabbos to one and all.